I'm kicking up. I'm so pretty. I'm on bitch. I'm so pretty. I'm on bitch. This is sad. On my Kodak.
Whenever the government will do like something like bad, they like they'll pay someone or they'll like do something to distract people from it?
Well, I don't think they need to pay anyone because
they're delivering.
Yeah, it's already happening. It's just this constant stream of. Do you have a question?
No.
Okay. Any movement is suspect for me. You know, you put your hand up. I'm like. Okay, so we just have this constant stream of information thanks to the fact that we have cell phones that can do absolutely anything and... Not yet. We have Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. Most of you here, I'll tell you to put your phone away, but you're on Snapchat and you're like, I need to get my streaks. I'm like, what?
And this was sort of like the first time in our modern social media world that we started talking about the crisis that we're currently in, where young black folks are getting shot innocently by our police force.
And it's funny because the guy who shot him wasn't even a police officer. He was just some random guy who said, black guy in neighborhood, suspicious. And he said that Trayvon Martin had a weapon. Trayvon Martin had skills.
He was a security, like a neighborhood security watch.
Yeah.
Guy. The guy who shot him. Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't get any time for it.
He said he was defending himself because he was scared. Even though this young black man.
Defending himself with someone with a bag of skills.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Skittles
is
gonna
be
like
skittles
on
that.
Skittles
so dangerous.
Soft drinks are dangerous. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Drinks of ingredients.
Okay, so what is this guy doing?
Just playing the guitar.
Yeah, he's minding his own business. He's minding his own business.
Then
and that is
shot.
Very... Then, not only does he get shot... Hold on.
We put something over his face.
Let's...
He got shot in an execution way.
Execution style. Okay. Emily, you can turn that down so that just in case I press play, I don't... Okay, he gets shot execution style. But okay, the way his body, the way he is shaped right now. Does anyone know what Jim Crow is?
Oh,
yes.
Jim Crow.
Jim Crow.
Yes.
The Jim Crow laws, not the laws, but the caricature. It's basically blackface.
Yeah.
Not the laws. Jim Crow also means this character that was created as a caricature of black people, which is essentially blackface, because it's a white person with their face painted black and their lips over-exaggerated and drawn in red.
Ew.
Okay, and Jim Crow is usually shown... Let me just get sure you guys have a picture.
Trayvon Martin was shot on February
26, 2012. Okay, alright. I heard about 2013, that's why. Jim Crow.
That's so creepy.
Show me the money. Show me. Basically,
you can zoom, babe, if you want.
Zoom?
Zoom?
Shift plus.
That's very dark.
Or control plus.
I got it.
So basically, this is how America views black people.
He has a whole issue.
Yeah, that's the point. He's poor.
And all of his clothes.
Yeah, that's
like
the point.
He has no soul.
Like he has no soul.
Where is his people?
Non-existent.
He looks like a
great Okay, so this Donald Glover. Okay, Donald Glover is the real name of Childish Gambino. Donald Glover, when he made this, he was. We're not sure. This is all speculation because, as I said, make your own guess what I'm trying to say. But especially as a black man, because it's the black male body has been so demonized in American history, considering how the one way that you let me phrase this properly. Has anyone heard, well, I don't know if you've heard this, but this is the National Socialist, white supremacist, the 14 words, we must secure a future for our children, for the white woman and our children, and that's what the white supremacists stand by. It's the mantra of neo-Nazis, it's the 14 words. And one of the ways they secure it is to protect them from the black man, because they believe that the black man's sole purpose is to erase the purity of the white race by infecting them with mixed race babies. I know too much about white supremacy.
Wait, first of all, that's not even really how it even like how mixed kids even came to be. It's when, like, I don't really talk about it because it makes me uncomfortable.
The rape, the rape of slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I was about to say like.
It's really dark stuff, and it's. It makes me sad. But let's move on to some. Let's move on to the video. So the guy is executed, execution style. He has a bag over his head. He has his hands tied. Let's watch this next part. Yeah, they drag the body away. But did you notice how they carefully take the gun and put it in a little napkin and take it away, as opposed to this black man's body that they just, all right, gotta drag another one and put it in the pit. Tears. And what do you think that speaks for?
I don't want to say it. I'm going to say it. Think about how they carried the gun, that they retrieved the gun after they shot the man, like, very carefully, like they said, put it in a cloth. I mean, how is that telling of our country's values?
Like, they don't really care about the people at all.
And what does it say about the opinion on guns?
They don't want them to get caught, do they?
They're giving it to you.
That is so
cool. Yeah, so the napkin could be the covering up the evidence, but what about, like, how carefully they don't want to, like, taint this gun?
Because they could get arrested. I mean, that's what they want of the gun.
Is it, like, showing the importance of the gun?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you noticed that we have more regulations for how a woman should have babies than for a gun?
That's true.
For guns aren't regulated. You can go into our Walmart and buy a gun.
And right now, more students are dying in this country from guns than our own military.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yes. Thank you. It is sad. But guess what? No one's gonna do anything about it because America loves guns.
Let's give them
well,
to our teachers.
That's a grim, that's a grim outlook, but we might be able to do something about it if we all actually raise our voices. Similar
raise
to the way the Parkland students did after the Florida shooting.
Yes.
People want guns to be legal, but if you're in the army?
I mean, that's a different case. If you're in the army, you're trained for combat.
Right. So if you're trained to be like in the army, in the navy, in the police force, that is different from then just like any average citizen who doesn't have training with firearms. So if a law came out that said that guns were illegal, or that you had to go through some very rigorous training in order to be able to obtain a gun, that would just apply to, like, the masses and not these specialized people who work to protect our country.
Okay. So, as many of you mentioned, you could not see what was going on in the background because you were so focused on the dancing in the front.
Also, it's blurred, so...
Well,
yeah.
That's why it's called the background. Background is naturally always blurred because...
Well, not always. But I think that was intentional that they sort of continue to have the focus lens on the foreground.
Yeah, it is definitely intentional because as a country, and I want to speak for this being a global problem also, because as a foreigner whose majority of my experience with America was through American media, so that meant American movies, American music, stuff like that. There is this perception that America is a haven, like this utopia where anyone can get by. And speaking as a black person from Africa, I don't know if this is going to be too advanced to talk about, but many people do not like black people in America, because when we watch American media, we side with, I'm just gonna say it, we side with how, with the white perception of how black people are viewed, i.e. we see black people in America as drug addicted, on welfare, too many children, and then they complain that and say, oh, we're in this because slavery, because XYZ. And because we've not been here to actually live the experience of being a black person in America, we just say, oh, these people complain and they don't want to get jobs. They just want to blame everything on the government. And this video basically has encapsulated every emotion that I felt being here in this country, because the way I get to see that this is how I used to think is when I talk to my relatives back home who spew the exact same nonsense that I used to think, like, oh, they just want to complain, say it's the government's fault. Because how is it that some Nigerian person is going to say, oh, you can just go outside and you can just work a little bit and then you're a millionaire. What's wrong with these black people saying, oh, I don't have a job? And it's because they're not here. They have let American media, which is biased. Does everyone know what bias means?
Not really.
It's like slanted one way.
Only from a certain perspective and doesn't show all the different parts. So like our media usually shows all of the ways that white people tend to portray black people, especially in the media, in a way that shows like people around the world something, a different reality than what folks are experiencing right here in our country.
So,
yeah, Rihanna has a question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, like, coming here, I was given advice from a relative. I hope you make white friends. Yes. And it just speaks to, I am black. There is no getting out of it. So why is it that Africans who seek to vilify our fellow black person, if not for the fact that we are raised watching media that teaches us to vilify ourselves? And vilify basically means make something out as evil or make something out as just bad. Because I like to put it this way, and I saw this going on a lot on my college campus, where you have the Black Student Union and the African Student Union, and both of them, although they claimed to get along, they did not get along. And my international student advisor told me, oh, it's just that old African versus African-American debate. And I didn't know that this was a thing. And I once brought up a point. If anything were to happen, like, if, considering what's going on in America with black people getting shot, it doesn't matter that you are an African or an African-American. You are still black as far as this country is concerned. So why are we fighting within our ranks instead of working together to unlearn this internalized anti-African and anti-black sentiment and grow as a people? And one other thing that's really important to note is how the dancers are black. And if you notice, a lot of the dances they're doing are like, what's the nene? The whip?
The red dances that nobody actually likes.
I mean, the whip and the nene were popular, right?
Yeah.
And it speaks to the fact that, has anyone heard the term, everyone likes black culture, but no one wants to be black?
No.
Like, people will, okay, so all the whip, nene, slay, turnt, where did we get all these terms from? these are basically AAVE. That's the African American vernacular. Like, I'm not explaining this properly.
No,
Rihanna?
Like rap culture?
Yes, rap culture! Thank you. A lot of this is from rap culture, but despite us being enamored with rap culture as a whole, we don't like black people. Did anyone see Miley Cyrus's VMA performance in 2014?
Nope,
no.
Remember.
Or 2015, one of those.
Still
don't remember. Well, Nicki Minaj, does anyone remember Nicki Minaj calling Miley Cyrus out in 2015? Like where she said, Miley, what's good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you know why she was saying Miley, what's good? She was tired of Miley Cyrus ripping off black culture and then using black people as props.
And then making tons of money doing so.
Because it's one thing for you to be all, oh, I'm gonna be hood and et cetera, but how can you be hood and not call and not put attention towards all the suffering that black people are going through in America? And Nicki Minaj was tired of it, and I do not blame her. It can be very distressing to know that people will profit off of what you are going through and not just basically you are a pawn in their success. For example, Iggy Azalea. Does anyone know where Iggy Azalea comes from?
Nope. Yes. Australia.
Australia.
What?
So, why does she rap like she's from the South?
Because
she grew up in Australia.
Yeah, but where?
She grew up in Australia.
No, town, city.
Well, people have brought that up to mean that she raps like a black person, like a person from the South, because she wants to use AAVE, which is the African American vernacular, so that she can sound more hood. Because she sounds very hood, doesn't she? A lot of times you can't tell that that is a white person rapping.
She kind of looks mixed.
And there was one other person that I was going to talk about that. Yes, Bad Barbie. Danielle Bergoli. What did she say again? Catch me outside. Catch me outside, girl. Have you heard Catch Me Outside Girl's real voice? She has a normal. Let's not use normal because they're saying normal. Yeah, she has a white girl voice, and there's nothing wrong with that. But she wants to be hood because being hood is cool until you get shot for it.
Yeah.
Because trust me, what Danielle Bergoli does, a lot of black girls in this country will do the same thing and get expelled from school for it. There is a video of this poor black girl getting. She's no older than any of you in this room, but she gets put in a headlock by a police officer and thrown on the ground. And trust me, Danielle Bergoli is never going to have to experience that. So.
This is America. Look at you slipping up. Look at you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping.
I'm trying to remember where I'm trying to go. Okay, here we go. Does anyone know where what this reference is trying to point to?
The school shootings?
Well, yes! But there's one particular shooting that this is referencing.
Wasn't it at a church?
Yes! Yes, there was a shooting in Charleston where a white supremacist walked into a church that had a predominantly black congregation and opened fire. And he said, quote, "I am trying to incite a race war." incite means start. I'm trying to start a race war. So basically, he did that because he wanted black people to get upset and go do this to a white church. Are you following me?
What the heck?
Rihanna, you just got it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy was pretty messed up in the head. And he was like a neo-Nazi kind of person.
KKK.
Yeah, KKK. KKK person. And this shooting was the one that really got to me the most because it's on holy ground. It's in a church. How is it that someone can feel the need to defile holy ground by bringing weaponry? And one of the things that people would point out about to this is, okay, we're just going to go out there. We have certain spaces that when you go into that space, you're going to see all of a certain ethnic group or race in that space. For example, if you go to a black hair stylist place, you're going to see mostly black people. That's fine. And sometimes when a white person is in a black space, people, red flags go up. Just because it's out of the norm. Like, you don't need a perm, you don't need your hair braided, what are you doing here? But we should be okay with people, with different types of people in different types of spaces. When he went into that church, he was the only white person there. It is a church. Jesus said, stop no one from entering. Everyone can come in. They are happy to have him there. But I'm sure some people's red flags went up because they're like, this is a white person in an all-black church. This is odd. But they still welcomed him, and he killed so many people. So people started to call to attention the fact that sometimes when an all one race space has a different person in there, it can make people uncomfortable. And this is why some people can get uncomfortable, because you welcome this person only to receive bad treatment in the long run. And what's really amazing at the end of all of this is that at the hearing where this guy, the guy who shot the church up, was being sentenced, you had members of the church actually go to speak to him in the court, and they were like, we don't care what you did. When you get out, if you want to come to our church, you're more than welcome to come to our church. And it really touched me because at the end of the day, we're people. We're supposed to care for one another, love one another, and welcome each other. He has done this horrific act of racism in the name of trying to start a race war and basically trying to follow the mantra that Adolf Hitler has instilled in so many Nazis and passed down to neo-Nazis and passed down to the KKK, passed down to the alt-right. But we need to understand that racism is taught. No one is born racist at all. You have to teach someone to hate somebody else. And we as a people have to work towards making sure that we do not pass on this racism gene that seems to be turning into a gene, because no one is becoming immune from it. Okay. And what's one other thing that you notice about these people getting shot? Then we play the people.
They're all black.
Yeah, they're all black.
And they just walk away from it?
Yeah, they just walk away from it. But where is it?
The gun was taken carefully.
There's one other thing that I really want you guys to catch on. Maybe you'll notice it more with this one. these people were shot?
No.
That is. They were just singing. They were just living their lives. They're just trying to get by. They're just trying to do whatever. But they're shot just because.
They're there.
Just because they're there. And this is not just for black people getting shot. This is for all the mass shootings that are happening. People are getting shot just because. There was a shooting at Orlando in the Pulse. That the bar. There was a shooting at some random movie theater. There was a shooting at a school. There was a shooting at XYZ place. People are getting shot just because. Basically, we have to start to examine what is going on in our culture that is making people just start shooting people just because. Okay, so some people didn't see the guy getting thrown off the balcony because you guys are focused on dancing.
I see it now. I'll see the beginning of it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I do not use Max. I do not like working with Max. Did anyone listen to the lyrics of the song?
Yeah.
Okay. Please bear with me. I'm honestly really trying.
This is Yeah.
Can anyone guess what this scene is supposed to represent?
Gangs.
Social media.
Thank you! Social media. The fact that we see a fight happening, and what do?
Videotape it.
World star. The fact that we see some guy about to fall into an incoming train, what do?
Tape it.
Why would I do that?
Tape it. Put it on Facebook.
Put it on Facebook. Instead of doing what?
Helping.
What is wrong with us? Why are we taping things instead of trying to help people? Can anyone guess why? We're trying to get views. We're trying to get followers. We're trying to get subscribers. What did Logan Paul do in Japan?
He showed a dead body.
Why do you think he showed that dead body?
He was that dead body.
Views! I agree. And I quote me, I agree, yes. We're trying to get views, we're trying to get popular on social media that we're going through these crazy ranks to just show crazy stuff instead of helping.
Why is it bad showing a dead person on camera?
It's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Think of it. Just think of it. Don't think I'm trying to pick on you or anything. But if you were to die, and you were to die in a way that, because when someone commits suicide, they don't do it because they actually want to die. They do it because they're in so much pain that they just want to end the pain. So, in and of itself, it was a painful thing for someone to commit suicide. Would you be happy with someone walking up to your body and laughing? Think of it.
I didn't see the
video.
No, no, trust me. I didn't see the video either. They took it down real quick.
It was on there. It was not.
Yeah, they took it down real fast. But that's why it's disrespectful. Because also this person probably has relatives, loved ones who, when they see that person, it will just bring up feelings of, oh my gosh, he's dead, he's gone, and his body is being defiled. I don't know if this is going off on a tangent, but have you ever watched a war film where they'll kill the king and put the king's head on a pole?
Yes.
What do you think that does to the people? Like, the people that the king ruled over, how do you think they feel?
They feel like crap.
Two things. They didn't like the king, they'd be happy. But the second one, they'd be sad.
Yeah, they'd be sad. They were like, our precious king, his head is on a pole. So that's why them showing that dead body was mad disrespectful.
Yeah.
But yes, about this social media thing. How many of you here are guilty of pulling out your phones to videotape someone's fight?
No.
What?
So, today, Natalia was hiding in the locker, and her friend held her and bringing him, and she jumped down and scared him, and I still not taking it.
Okay. Well, I meant more fighting, like, really bad fighting. If you are, please stop. Find a way to help. People are getting hurt, and it's like America has turned into this huge fan of blood sport. Blood sport is any form of entertainment where people get hurt.
Like the Romans.
Why don't people just
Yes,
I'm
learning about that right now.
Like the Romans. It is so weird how...
Just with Snapchat.
Who here knows about the Roman Empire?
They threw babies off a cliff.
Wow.
That's China.
No, so, like, the Spartans, every time, like, a baby was born, you know, if something was wrong with it, they would just, like, toss it.
Okay, yeah. So, it's weird that we're drawing parallels to America and the Roman Empire.
Wait, I have a question. Why did they do that?
Why did they throw babies off of...
Because if something was, like, wrong with it, it was, like, this child was from God, and it was, like, oh, this is a sin, let's toss it off a cliff. Like, let's say if it was, like, extra finger, something like that, or, like, a certain scar on their face, like, a birthmark, I mean, things like that.
They were kind of, trying to, like, keep their population, like, pure and, like, some sort of perfection, and so if a baby was born that didn't fit into this model, their morality was not maybe in line with yours or mine, and they would just
toss it off. So it seems that there's this obsession with eugenics.
Who?
Eugenics is basically the study of keeping, trying to make a superior people. Let's not think about superior races.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So, this one. What do you guys think of this scene?
What are the dancers wearing?
School outfits.
Yes, this one is for the, I think this is for the school shootings. Remember, this is open to everyone's interpretation. But I think this is about the school shootings, especially when you hear that silence and the screaming and children running and the doors opening.
In contra?
Yes. So this one, I think, represents the school shootings because there's just this general panic, and the fact that he doesn't have a gun. I mean, you guys have already experienced it where someone said, oh, we're gonna bring a bomb to the school, and you didn't, even though there was no bomb, there was that feeling of,
I didn't even know until like 20 minutes before it was over.
Jenny, you're always confused or don't know what's going on.
Made all the children run. And
right,
step.
So he was using his hands to make a gun with his hand.
And like, not even before he like finished putting his arms fully out, they weren't even there. Like the second he moved his shoulder, like, they all ran.
And it's chilling. And honestly, girls, I feel for you. I feel for each and every one of you. You are growing up in a different world.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
It's so cold.
Okay.
Right after that happened, I went to my grandpa's house, and he laughed at me.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
He's, like, really racist.
Grandpa, we love you, Grandpa, but you got to go.
Oh my gosh.
Alright, did anyone see SZA?
SZA?
She's in the video!
Where? Who?
Right there! That's SZA!
Oh! I was like, why does that hair look so familiar?
It's
SZA!
Who is
that? Does anybody know the song Love Galore?
SZA?
No.
Alright, you guys have been living under a rock. That's okay.
Just
you know.
Alright. I'm actually stuck with this scene. I don't know what it represents.
Well, it's interesting
cars.
Too. What do you notice about the cars?
They're all beat up. They're all,
they're all older cars. So maybe it's trying to show maybe like a pre-civil rights time where I don't know. I don't know my car timeline.
What that represents, right?
Yeah,
that. Woo! That is clever.
cars stacked up.
All right, but can anyone guess what this one represents?
The black eye line.
It's probably like,
oh, yeah. But did anyone pay attention to the lyrics?
It's really
okay, this is what he's saying. You're just a black man, you're just a barcode.
Oh, dang. That's, wow.
Wow.
And by barcode, you're just a prisoner. Because black men are the most incarcerated people in this US system. And one other fun fact that, well, not fun, geez, use your words right, I mean. One other interesting fact that I picked up is that a lot of the black men in prison are in prison for rape, but a lot of the people getting accused of rape are white males.
What?
And I think this goes back to, remember what I said with the, we must secure the future for our
children?
And white. And white women. It goes to, if a black man dares look at a white woman, that is an offense in and of itself. I haven't done much research on it, so I don't really want to talk about it. And I'm holding back on certain things because you guys are very young, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about certain aspects of this. But that's something that I found out about in doing some reading about incarcerated black people. And it's just so weird how, for example, on Twitter the other day, some guy posted, it's amazing how I can be doing 80 miles per hour with a blunt in my mouth, stopped by a police officer and he says nothing. And we're like, wait, what's going on? And we found out he was white. We're like, okay, we understand. Let me show you guys this video. It's a Vine.
Oh gosh, no.
It's a
Vine
for
me, babe.
No, it's a Vine, and it goes back to what I just said.
Yeah, there's a lot of Vines like that. There was this one Vine where, there was a bunch of white people there, and there was this guy, this black guy, the Viner. He was walking, and everybody just like locked their cars as he was walking by.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then there was another one where the, there was like a robbery, and then the cop came and he was black and he started screaming, right? And then the robber like was white and he was like, oh, go ahead, man.
Okay! I didn't know he swore at the beginning.
You know why I pulled you over, boy? No, I don't, sir. I was driving perfectly fine. Because I completely just forgot, like, right after.
Well, I guess you have no reason to keep me then, huh?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, man, what cologne are you wearing?
It's privilege by white people.
Privilege by white people. Hey, man, stop smelling like discrimination and lack of representation. It was privilege by white people.
Just do it.
Okay, does anyone know?
Some privilege.
Okay, did we have a discussion on privilege yet?
We talked about privilege, like, I think 3 weeks ago we were talking about pretty privilege, white privilege. Remember when we, light skin privilege?
Okay, so, basically, this guy, in relation to the fact that some guy can get pulled over doing 100 miles per hour and have a blunt in his mouth, and the officer stops him, looks at him and says, go on about your business.
Wait, what in his mouth?
A blunt. He was
like
smoking
weed.
Yeah. And yeah, we all know what happens when you get caught smoking weed. So, okay. I'm trying to think of more stuff that's in this video for us to dissect.
What's
the girl sitting on the entire car thing?
Yes. So,
I'm curious, I mean, are people in your schools in your school talking about this video?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine is very dead.
A lot of people are doing the dance for the video.
They're doing the dance. What did we talk about with the dancing and the social media? They're
focusing on the dance moves and that's about it.
The dances that are in this are everywhere.
I bet,
but it's not specifically from this video.
Can we just meme anything?
Yeah.
What is from Fortnite?
Oh, look, a floor.
Yeah, it is from Fortnite.
But I bet everyone was like dancing during the video. It's like, hey, not seeing people get shot in the background.
Not seeing people get shot in the background. Not seeing some guy get chased by. Where's the guy? Where's the scene where he's chased by the white horse?
You just.
Alright, here we go. Here comes the white horse. Boys, here comes the guy running for his life. But what are people focused on? And the fact that you guys are saying that people are focusing on the dancing. That is information enough.
Do you guys think Faith should come to your school and hold an assembly and dissect
yeah.
this
video? Yes!
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 I'll be the bouncer there. Whoever talks gets like thrown.
Yes, please. My introversion gone up like this.
I feel you, Faith.
This
the idea.
One other thing I want to talk about before we break.
No, no, stop.
One other thing I want to talk about before we break, and this is actually in the essay I wrote about this video, gagang, gagang, is, has anyone heard of the women's edit of this video?
No.
I don't know if I should show it, because I don't want to give this woman views, because she's pissing me off, but some woman decided that she would make a parody of this video that focused on feminist issues, despite her feminist issues, not including any women of color at all. And, this is the feminism that I do not like. It is the feminism that does not call to attention the intersectionality. And intersectionality basically means the fact that every one of us is different. And as we are different, we have different struggles. For example, an able-bodied woman is not going to go through the same struggles as a differently abled woman. Should I show it?
I don't want to give her views.
No
one cares about
you don't want to give views.
You
can dislike
the
video.
You can dislike the video.
Okay,
dislike
the video.
Wait,
and
no.
Her burn
like,
the internet trolls.
Okay.
Wait,
alright. We'll show it to you. And I want you to focus on the different types of racism that this woman is pushing in her video and saying that it's feminism.
Yeah, but my only
that's
the kind of feminism that's giving feminism a bad name.
Thank you. You're welcome. Alright. God forgive me.
The American woman.
So
what?
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what did I do?
You
muted it. Oh my god.
We just want to pray.
Yeah.
We're not about to age right now.
What the fuck?
camera, right? Come on, girl, where's your teeth? That pill will take care of ya. Look how I'm spitting truth out. I'm so trendy. Yeah, I wear Fendi. Yeah, I'm so sexy. I'm gonna get it. Watch me move. Yeah, these are my titties. That's my tool. I'm being childish. You can be no. This shit's fire. What do you do? Get a man, get a man, get a man. Make a fan, make a fan, make a fan. I gotta give up my dreams. Rather be the husband.
Referencing the female fighters who've been kicking the Taliban's butt, and then I wouldn't want to be the Taliban because I get my butt kicked. Anyways.
I mean, how does that detract from the initial artist's like intentions, integrity, aesthetics, voice. I mean, do you think that this takes away from?
I think it takes away from like everything that he's trying to show and focus on that people don't focus on. And like it just makes it seem like, oh, just another thing to laugh at.
Do you think she's trying to say like, oh, I have an issue that's equally or more important than the issue you're trying to bring up?
But so regardless of whatever her intention was, there's this video that came to my mind, but does anyone know who Cat Black is?
No.
I kind of
Cat.
But like last video, like I didn't like her dancers. Like that was just like.
I think she was trying to show that women are expected to dress up in these scantily clad outfits, and that is not how they want to dress or how they want to be portrayed. Who knows?
What about the part?
Like
one more person has like a really long like bodysuit on, and it has like a big hole.
What about the part when they're getting married and
he
keeps his handing hearts out the other girls?
What do you think that means?
Cheaters, it's okay for them to cheat and stuff, even though they're married.
I also saw that when the cheerleaders were dancing, there was like a guy behind them recording them dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's
very
creepy.
And that's how,
they look.
In the part where the dad gave the daughter like makeup,
and
so she's trying to comment on all of these like norms that society has for women.
Yeah,
but
she's doing a bad job.
Yeah,
she's doing a
bad
job.
She's doing a pretty bad job of it.
She did a very bad job of it. What I do not like is that she used a black person's video. That was already talking about. Had a very specific theme. And that brought me to this video, which has been taken down, unfortunately. So I'm gonna have to use the GIFs and read the GIFs out to you. But Cat Black is an activist. And she made this video called Can White People Sing Black Songs? And what she was trying to get at is what we've seen with this parody video, and I'm gonna read it out to you because the video is no longer available. So, it's moving too fast. So, this woman here covered a song called Strange Fruit, which was written by an American songwriter Abel Maripool. It's moving very fast. Strange Fruit was an anti-lynching song that the guy wrote, Abel Maripool wrote, after seeing a photograph of a black man hanging from a tree. He, as a black man, felt scared because this could be me. So he had a very raw emotion within him when he saw that image of a black man hanging from a tree and feeling, holy moly, guacamole, this could have been me. I am scared. What do I do? I'm gonna write this song. Billie Holiday, this is some of the lyrics. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Billie Holiday is black. Okay, so Annie Lennox, the woman from earlier, right here, covered Strange Fruit. And when she was interviewed and asked about the meaning of the song, She said that Strange Fruit was about the human struggle, and that we all experience struggles, whether it's terrorist acts or domestic violence. So basically, she took a song that was written by a black man who had seen another black man hanging from a tree after being lynched, feeling some very raw emotion, fear, disgust, took that song and watered it down to mean, oh, this is about the human struggle.
How?
It's not about the human struggle. It is about this black man seeing a black human struggle, and I can cover this song and sing it and water down its meaning. So basically, Cat Black says, oftentimes when white people cover songs about black people, the meaning and pain behind these songs is often erased. And unfortunately, oftentimes, this is done deliberately. And then she's really funny. She goes on to say, so you're saying that white people can't cover black songs? That is racist. You, ma'am, are keeping racism alive.
No,
Rebecca. Listen, all I'm saying is that the song is just not made for you. People love black art, but they love it more without black people.
That's true.
Unfortunately, the video got taken down. I do not know why.
Because YouTube is mad. YouTube is tight.
Oh, YouTube hates Cat Black. My God.
Why do?
Does she have a channel?
She has a channel still. You guys want to see Cat Black's channel?
Yeah.
I would have
people that
channels.
Re-upload YouTube videos.
Yeah, the only re-upload of it is someone saying that she's stupid and why she's stupid. So if you watch it, it's just going to be
some ignorant.
You'll just hear a part of it, then the person will say, this is stupid because this. Then you hear another part, this is stupid because this. So it's, I don't want to watch that person's video.
Because this.
I don't want to give that person views. As you can see, I don't like giving people identity views.
Punk rock, Mohawks, and Teenage Rebellion.
This is her. And she always has cool colored hair. So, and she makes children's books.
Oh, that's cute. Kids, man.
Anarchy.
But this is her channel.
Can you full screen it?
Hey, you want to watch the video on Anarchy?
What is Anarchy?
That's what she's going to say in the video.
Yeah, let's watch it.
You want to? Okay.
How long is it?
It's 10 minutes and 35 seconds. Wait, if you guys want to watch a video by her, let me show you some of my favorite videos by this woman.
ASMR.
Let's watch Fascism. This is my favorite video.
Let's suppose that you're writing a really important email to a colleague.
What is Anarchy, if we're not
going to
watch
Fascism?
Fascism.
Isn't it when you, oppose all forms of government?
Yeah.
Ooh, use that.
You're anti-government.
Mm-hmm. It's a word that's thrown around a lot these days. Everything seems to be fascist. Suggesting that we not use certain slurs, fascist. Being banned from Twitter, fascist. Being denied a paid speaking gig, fascist. With the word being thrown around so much, it can be hard to actually understand exactly what fascism is. But luckily, I'm here to clarify. Fascism is a form of government generally headed by a dictator or an oligarchy. Fascist states utilize authoritarianism, which demands a strict obedience to a central power. This limits the personal freedoms of its citizens, often under the guise of submission being for the common good. This notion often translates into nationalism, which is simply a pride in one's country. Nationalism almost sounds harmless, even understandable, but under a fascist government, the actions of the state are always correct. So whether it's building a school or slaughtering immigrants, decisions made by the state are always the right decisions. Nationalism tends to breed xenophobia, which is the fear of foreigners. Fascist states see their nation as virtuous and foreigners as the largest threat to that virtue. People who support them or do business with them are seen as enemies of the state. In these situations, xenophobia is closely tied to racism and prejudice. Fascism, as we know it, has its roots in Europe, specifically Italy. Ever hear of somebody refer to a person as Machiavellian? Well, Niccolo Machiavelli was an Italian political philosopher who inspired Benito Mussolini, the leader of the Italian Fascist Party, who would later become an Italian dictator in 1925. Machiavelli was a Renaissance-era political philosopher and strategist who wrote a book called The Prince. The Prince was written to advise monarchs on how to pursue political power and favor, not through kissing babies, but often through brutality and deception. He's said to have coined the old adage, it's better to be feared than to be loved. Machiavelli asserted that there was a distinct difference between the personal and public morality of leaders, and that being a prince often meant making harsh decisions that were contrary to what many people would see as morally just. He often suggested the use of ruthless violence as a means of eradicating competition, intimidating citizens, and curbing dissent. He believed that all of these actions must be done in the interest of the state, or at least that's how it should seem to its citizens. Machiavelli had some interesting ideas, and while some of them seem extreme and even frightening, his writings have provided guidance to leaders and some businessmen to this day. His advice often seems extreme, but it's not necessarily bad advice, and people have interpreted his works in various ways. When a young Benito Mussolini read The Prince, he was convinced that he was qualified for that role, and so he used much of Machiavelli's advice when pursuing control. Fascism is a tricky thing to nail down, especially when it's conflated with so many things. Fortunately, many fascists have actually written the outlines for their fascism, and Mussolini happened to be one of them. He wrote many articles and gave several speeches defining fascism. He published the Fascist Decalogue in 1934 that detailed 10 defining points of fascism. 1. Know that the fascist, and in particular the soldier, must not believe in perpetual peace. 2. Days of imprisonment are always deserved. 3. The nation serves even as a sentinel over a can of petrol. 4. A companion must be a brother first because he lives with you, and secondly, because he thinks like you. 5. The rifle and the cartridge belt and the rest are confided to you not to rust in leisure, but to be preserved in war. 6. Do not ever say, the government will pay, because it is you who pay, and the government is that which you will to have, and for which you put on a uniform. 7. Discipline is the soul of armies. Without it, there are no soldiers, only confusion and defeat. 8. Mussolini is always right. 9. For a volunteer, there are no extenuating circumstances when he is disobedient. 10. One thing must be dear to you above all, the life of the Duce. If you're hearing these points for the first time, they may feel very extreme and even surreal. You might even wonder what sort of atmosphere was created that allowed something like this to become empowered. Well, Italy after the First World War was chaotic. The unemployment rate was extremely high and people were starving. Italy had suffered steep casualties in the war, and in the aftermath, many Italian citizens ultimately felt that they got the short end of the stick. As Russia's successful communist revolution grew, there was hysteria around the idea that communism would spread internationally. Many thought the only way to prevent this would be through extreme measures. Mussolini emerged from the war as a wounded veteran with a drastically different worldview. Once a strong socialist, but now a staunch anti-socialist, he began advocating for an Italian dictatorship. He'd move into that role when he rallied 40,000 fascists on Naples in the March on Rome in the October of 1922. The march was in response to the Italian government siding with socialist interests. He effectively became a dictator, and it would be one for the next 21 years. By 1926, Mussolini started censoring the media, banning books, and delegitimizing certain arts. By 1929, despite his personal distaste for the church, he began showing support for Catholicism, even giving the Vatican City to the church. On the flip side, by 1938, he introduced anti-Semitic laws that banned Jewish people from much of public life, especially when it came to people of Jewish descent intermingling with pure Italians. This precedent of racial purity was also translated to the Italian colonization of Ethiopia. Aaron Gillette recorded Mussolini saying the following in his book, Racial Theories in Fascist Italy. The singular, enormous problem is the destiny of the white race. Europe is truly towards the end of its destiny as a leader of civilization. He explained, the white race is sickly, morally and physically in ruin. That all being said, it's important to note that fascism isn't an officially racist perspective, though racism is often a side effect of fascism. Frankly, nailing down exactly what fascism is quite hard, and I'm just brushing the surface of it and the extensive history of Mussolini. There have been many fascist leaders since, and we generally know what fascism looks like and how it impacts the nations that it materializes in. But something to keep in mind is that fascism can seem very seductive under certain circumstances to certain people. Mussolini managed to get most of his support from disenchanted veterans and a middle class that feared for the future of their success. Fascism requires a weakened and fearful base inspired by lies and fear of the unknown. Fear of an uncertain future has stoked the fires of extremism time and time again. But in the end, what we do know about fascism is that it always collapses. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode of What Is. I'm going to be doing a bunch of videos like this on my channel, and I would love to know what you guys want to see as part of this series. I did make a poll full of ideas that I already have had for new episodes. I have some stuff that I've already been working on. I'm really curious what you guys think and want. So,
alright. So, that's Cat Black, and she's very much hated.
Why though?
That's a good question. But did anyone recognize any of the stuff that she's talking about in our current day?
I don't know. I didn't get anything.
We should have lots of likes.
Huh?
We should have lots of likes. Yeah, it used to, I should say.
Well,
who do you think are the people who don't like her?
The white people?
Please answer that poll. But
oh Lord, I don't know how to use a Mac.
It's like, it's the same. This whole time it was like,
I know, it's just Macs, man. Alright, who wants to watch another video? Huh? What? I don't know what you're pointing out. Who wants to watch another video?
Oh.
That's exactly what I was asking.
In my opinion. What? Wait, what are you?
The one that says racist.
Oh, is Jeffree Star racist? Does everyone know who Jeffree Star is?
No.
Oh my god.
No.
Because this is going to be an opinion piece about Jeffree Star. And about.
I don't know. Why do people think
lawyers?
Okay.
How big are the rocks you're looking at?
Really big. I don't have social media. I'm not on the internet.
YouTube.
Okay.
The
Hallie,
channels I watch
Hallie,
are
calm down. Calm down.
I'm
calm
sorry.
Down. Hallie, calm down. Jeffree Star, trust me, Jeffree Star has been out there. So this video is about Jeffree Star. And I actually
just watch.
Okay. We should watch a different one that everyone would be able to hand on. Okay, let's watch this one. Sometimes I'm sorry is not enough.
We should definitely
No, we're not watching. Okay, 13 Reasons Why is Problematic. Do not watch it. Thank you.
Why?
Because.
My favorite.
Why do you even like that show?
Why don't you like it?
13 Reasons Why shows an actual suicide despite the people. Okay, when they made that show, they went to some experts on mental health, and the experts on mental health said, do not show the suicide.
They showed it.
They showed it.
I think that's educational.
In what way? How to commit suicide?
Oh,
yeah.
Actually,
why would you
watch
it? Oh,
that's
supposed to
happen. Is that their actual
No!
Plan?
You're not supposed to, and plus it's graphic. The same way we don't want to see
like
some
Saw franchise. I think
listen, the Saw franchise needs to go.
It's still out there now.
I like the Saw franchise.
Nah. Alright, we're watching this video right now.
Over here.
It's been 5 years and your fave is still problematic. They've been called out, dragged, and read from the corner of Twitter to the depths of Tumblr. And finally, as the damage to their brand is just on the horizon, they finally say the two words that you've been wanting to hear. I'm sorry. Once they've said that, it doesn't matter if they've said something problematic on Monday. If they apologize by Tuesday on Wednesday, you better accept their apology and take their word that they mean it. You know, social media has really allowed call-out culture to incubate to a point where, whether you're a YouTuber or a Grammy Award-winning actor, you owe a quick and speedy apology to your audience, or else. Usually the assumption that comes with these apologies is that the people apologizing are working towards understanding why what they said was wrong. But let's be real. If these people said these things confidently, it's unlikely that they were coming from a place of understanding to begin with. While we'd like to believe that these social media personalities and celebrities are ideologically pure, the reality is that they're not unlike every other person who's been socialized in a society that often downplays or minimizes the struggles of certain groups of people. Because of that, truly understanding their struggles is an ongoing process that can't always be learned within 48 hours of the offense. I've been on YouTube for a very long time, and through that time, I've said and done some things that today are in complete conflict with my worldviews and morality. If you saw some of my older videos, you might not even recognize me because of the language that I use and the types of oppression that I weaponize. But I have the benefit of being a relatively unknown YouTuber when most of these videos were made. So back then, I wasn't put into a situation where I was pressured to apologize to my audience for some of the rude and disgusting things that I said. However, I know that if someone told me to apologize for those things back then, the most I could say would be, "I'm sorry if you were offended." And it wouldn't really be an apology that came from understanding why I was wrong, but one fabricated to calm down the angry mob. This isn't to say that my critics wouldn't be justified in their anger, but in my opinion, pressuring people into giving performative apologies often results in a false one. I'm a person who blogs a lot about social justice, and because of that, people assume that I'm informed and educated about all types of oppression, but I'm not. I thought that I had a basic understanding about anti-Semitism, but years ago, I made a lot of what I now understand are some anti-Semitic comments. I even dismissively said everything's anti-Semitic when being criticized for what I said. And these are some comments that have followed me for quite some time, and when people bring them up, I still get pretty defensive. For a while, it felt like people were really taking a few minor passing comments and making them into something much larger than they were. I thought to myself, I'm not a bad person, and despite what these people are saying, I don't hate Jewish people. But what I didn't understand about anti-Semitism is that a common anti-Semitic trope is that Jewish people overreact to the smallest offenses. That exclusion of Judaism from conversations about oppression is anti-Semitism. That all too often social justice conversations only bring up Jewish people in the context of either unfairly owning narratives of genocide or sitting on the role of the oppressor. Both of these scenarios downplay anti-Semitism in a space that, in theory, is about fighting against oppression. One of the ways that I have discussed Jewish people conflated Jewish identity with whiteness, which on one hand erases Jewish people of color, and on another overlooks that Jewish people, whether white or white passing, still experience anti-Semitism through their lives. Before I actually spoke to a Jewish person about anti-Semitism, I believed that it was something blatant, like a neo-Nazi spray painting a swastika on a synagogue. But what I realized is that we live in a society that often downplays anti-Semitism, where people on the left call people on the right Nazis and never once mention Jewish people, all while arguing that they're the more virtuous side. When I was accused of being anti-Semitic, the first thing I thought was that I wasn't. And then I realized through these conversations that if any part of me was anti-Semitic and didn't want to be, that the most important thing for me to do was not only to listen to the people who felt that I was, but to have an ongoing dialogue with them. Not just one conversation where I'm told the right things to save my brand. And this isn't to say that I'll never say anything anti-Semitic again, or that I've alleviated myself of all of my anti-Semitic positions. It is, however, to say that I'm learning, and in my opinion, that's more important in the long run than giving a shallow apology and making the same exact mistake a week later. I'm still not done understanding every criticism that frames me as anti-Semitic, but I feel more genuinely that the things I said were wrong, and upon understanding, I'm sorry that they were said. The people that wanted my apologies had valid reasons for wanting them, and I want to make it clear that you shouldn't be afraid to call out someone who's doing something oppressive, but ask yourself, what's more important in the long run? An ongoing commitment to changing the biases that inspired the misstep, or an empty apology constructed to silence future dissent? In my opinion, we're living in a time where people are too eager to pressure people into premature, performative apologies that carry little value and do nothing in the long run. A change in action that comes from a genuine understanding and a continued dialogue with the community that they've insulted says so much more. It's easier to say I'm sorry than it is to actually be sorry. Oh, and it's hard to take your apology seriously when it's just the introduction to a makeup haul.